He grew up in Chicago, which is an amazing thing that we have. Was it South Chicago or? Yeah, South Chicago, which I know only by reputation, but Larry doesn't fit that reputation. He went into the Marine Corps, served in Vietnam. He then became a police officer and retired from the Los Angeles Police Department. All the while, there was something in Larry that was pushing him toward the ministry. I've heard him speak of his grandfather's having a great influence on him. And I'm glad to hear that story because it gives hope to many of us that maybe with our grandchildren, we can influence even more than we did our own children at times. But the call to ministry was so great that Larry went to Pepperdine even while he was working in Los Angeles and prepared himself for the ministry. And when he moved here, he was often called out of town to go give lectures to police departments on morals and ethics, as well as to schools. He's well-versed and well-versed in the Bible and loyal to the Bible. And today, we're glad to have Larry speak to us. We've prayed for him and been concerned about his health, but he tells me that he's perfectly able to bring us the message today.
Alan, thank you for your generosity, unspeakable generosity. Our relationship goes back a ways, and the pin that ties us together is his sister, one of my dear friends in Pasadena, California. And moving here, my wife was actually from Galveston. And when we retired, I said, okay, let's go where it's peaceful and quiet. Let's get out of L.A. So we moved here and fortunately met up with Alan, and his sister and I were very close in California. And Alan and Mikey and I have become very close. And with the loss of my wife recently, they were always there for me. And, you know, we're still working through that. But what I wanted to do today was to share with you the idea of the song was so appropriate that you just led, but peace be still. Our message today is going to be about peace and about the storms that life bring about and how we are to comport ourselves, how we're to carry through and move through those storms. Our anchor text is going to come to us from Psalm 23, 2 and 3. And in it, God said, go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind hit the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after a fire, a small, quiet voice spoke. His message hasn't changed. The God speaks to us in that small voice, quiet voice in the calm. And in order for us to actually be recipients of the word of God, we must also be quiet and resolute in listening for the word of God, listening for his directions, listening continuously rather than talking. His message hasn't changed. Yes, be still and know that I am God. Many times we decide that, and I think it's out of the necessity in many instances when we're competing with the world and for survival, that we become more and more aggressive. But our times with the Lord offers for us a peaceful time to sit and think and reconstruct our lives. Be still and know that I am God. It's a message that I hope everyone takes from here, because it's one I try to take to heart. Not try to do everything, not try to solve all problems, but be still and know that I'm God. Study the Word of God and listen. Today, we're so rushed. Being still is not only considered a waste of time in today's world, but impossible for most of us to do. It is never impossible. We must have the discipline to spend time in meditation with the Lord. We get to hear that small, quiet voice, because God's not going to be shouting at us. To hear that small voice, we must be still and focus on the Lord and what it is He would have us to do, how He would use us, and how we can be of service to Him. To be part of our contemplation of how can I best serve the Lord. And by extension, by serving the Lord, you know you're serving His people, which is a mission for all of us, for all of God's people. The mission is to serve others of God's people. How far has the world broken away from God's ways and teaching? If we have stepped into a place where we're few in numbers now, those who consult the Lord before we do things. Few in numbers. And as a result, the world is the way it is now. Now, we can be contributors to the way the world is now, or contributors to the way God wants the world to be. Because we are His vessels. We are His instruments to use in our day-to-day interactions with others around the world, in our day-to-day interactions with our family, with our friends, our co-workers. Yes, if you listen real close and be still. In this madcap world, we're constantly on the move because we think we're going to get left out of something or we're going to miss something. Well, when you're still, you'll be able to better communicate with the Lord Himself. If you get away from peaceful waters, where peaceful waters flow, you will hear His voice. Our days are numbered. His coming is close at hand itself. But only those who are still enough to hear the trumpets shall see God. Those who are being still. So many people say in dismay that they pray and pray and yet God never answers. The problem is God answers our prayers, but we're so busy that we miss the answers. Oftentimes they do not hear His answer because they never be still. The idea is to be still and contemplate. Think on what is it that God gifted me to do in the world? How can I best serve the Lord? It calls for contemplation. It calls for us to meditate. To be at one with the Lord and say, I'm open to Your service. Show me what it is You would have me do. Oftentimes we do not hear His answer. How can one hear if one does not take the time to listen? We get caught up so many times about the world and the things around the world that we don't spend any time listening for the Word of God, listening for that small, still voice. We cannot hear God's voice if we're constantly talking. Constantly complain to God and others. Even if we say nothing on the outside, inside, they're still saying, why me, Lord? And not standing by for an answer as to why You. Most people never take the time to be still and hear what God is saying. In His small, still voice. We get wound up so much in day-to-day living that we ignore the most important feature, the most important thing that we could possibly do is be attentive to the Lord, to listen to the Word of God. God can speak to us through other people and does often speak to us through other people. So we have to be able to communicate with others and listen. Listen to see how you could be of benefit to someone else. When you think in those terms of being of benefit for someone else, You become God's handy person. Even if they say nothing on the outside, inside they're still saying, why me, Lord? Well, the question is, why not you? Why not all of us? They never take the time to just be still and know that God is attentive and know that God is listening and willing to give you directions if you will be still. We get caught up in the world so much that we miss the message that the Lord is trying to deliver to us. We need to take time to rest beside the still waters. Listen as he speaks words of love, words of caring, those types of things that come directly emanate from God himself. But we won't hear it if we're constantly talking, if we're constantly busy with the life that we're living. We're to listen as he speaks words of love and caring in our lives each day. To listen, to really listen. We must be quiet. We must be still. It's very difficult in a modern society to be quiet, to be still. In more primitive societies, even when they have to go out to hunt for their food, and those types of areas in primitive societies, they have the opportunity to be still and take time to be still and communicate. We have so many distractions that we allow to be distractions. And what we have to do is to pull ourselves together and say, why am I here? And it's a thought for each and every one of us to have. Why am I here and how can I best serve the Lord? What is my purpose? See, something my grandmother told me a long time ago, God don't make no junk. So if he made you, you have value, you have worth. And the idea there is to use your value, use your worth for other people, and God will use you. To listen, to really listen, we must be quiet. Many times we talk so much merely to hear ourselves talk or to impress someone, when in fact we could impress someone more by just listening and asking probing questions like, may I be of assistance to you? Is there anything I can do for you? What do you need? I'm here for you. To share, to be God's handmaiden and handman. Be those that person that's there that God can use for other people. And many of us do that. Many people here at this congregation do that. I'm looking at a couple of folks right now who do that, that are quiet and constantly working for other people, checking on other people. That is doing God's work. Just as surely if you were standing here in the pulpit, is when you're checking on other people and doing those things that shows that you care and you love, that's exhibiting God's work. To listen, to really listen, we must be quiet ourselves. No distractions. Be still and know that I'm God. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. Following is a memo from God. Now that I've given the initial part, now comes the real hard part. This is a memo from God. The memo says, my dear son and daughter, today I, God, will be handling your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If you find yourself in a situation that you cannot handle, don't try to resolve it. Bring it to me. I ask that you kindly collect them in a basket. Bring them to me. God speaking. Something that only God can do. I will take care of the problem on my time, not yours. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Once you place your problem in that basket, don't worry about it anymore. And try to remove it from the basket. Doing this will only keep the problem around longer, the longer you dwell on a situation. If it's a situation that you believe you can take care of on your own, the Lord says, I ask that you please consult me in prayer to make sure you've made the right decision. Once you've decided to resolve an issue, the Lord says, consult me to make sure you've made the right decision. Seeing that I never sleep, the Lord speaking, your problems will never make me lose any sleep, the Lord speaking. There's no reason for you to lose sleep because of your worries. Rest in me, saith the Lord. Rest in me. There's absolutely no reason for you to lose sleep. Turn it over to the Lord. Whatever the issue is, turn it over to the Lord and get some sleep. Get some rest. And say, I've turned it over and it's in the Lord's hands now. Rest in me is what the Lord says. If you ever wish to contact me, I'm only a distance of a prayer. Lord speaking. If you ever need to contact me, I'm only one prayer away. And we need to be cognizant of that, that he's ever ready and prepared to answer. And he's right where we can use it. Also consider the following. Be happy with what you have. Be happy with what you have. Are you saying not to be ambitious? Of course not. But whatever you have, be happy with what you have. To strive for more, that's perfectly natural and that's okay. But to not use it as your guide in life. If you find it hard to sleep at night, little words of advice, remember there are people who have no place to sleep. So you're blessed. If you find yourself stuck in traffic, don't worry. There are people in the world that to whom being able to drive is a privilege. Many have no car. Ever had a bad day at work? Think of those people that have gone years without finding any work. And you start to remember and recollect how blessed you truly are. Are you brokenhearted about a relationship that didn't work out? Think of those people who do not know how to love. Or have never been loved? Does the weekend ending upset or depress you? Think of those people who work more than 18 hours a day during the week and then on the weekends, watching their kids cherish the weekends. Has your car ever broken down in the middle of the road, far from help? Think of the paralyzed people for whom love to be able to walk the distance to get help. And we're concerned about the car that broke down. Have you ever noticed more gray hairs are in here? Have you ever noticed more gray hairs starting to form? Think of those people undergoing chemotherapy for cancer and would love to have any hair. Have you reached the age of 40 and feel lost in life? Many times that becomes the marker, the benchmark. 40, 45 years old, you start thinking of going over that hill. Well, think about how blessed you are to be 40 plus. Be grateful. There are many who do not even live to that age to find out anything. Have you ever found time in your life where you're the object of ignorance, belittling, envy? Remember, these things could be worse. You could be one of the people full of ignorance and envy. Do you feel like you don't help others as you should? Remember, you're part of the solution. You're God's workers here on earth now. You can illuminate their day and not even know it. And a lot of times it's no more than communicating with someone. Someone you haven't seen in the congregation in some time, contacting them. A neighbor, someone that you, a co-worker. Just a phone call to say, you know, I was just thinking about you. Just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. Love you. Anything I can do for you, give me a call. Send them a memo to brighten their day. Or the days when you feel like you don't have a friend yourself. Remember that Jesus is your friend. He's sending this to you. He says, rest in me. When you feel lonely and feel as though you don't have a friend, you don't have anybody you can consult with, The Lord says, rest in me. Take it to the Lord. Here's a thought about whose hands. We talk about hands because usually when we think of hands, we think of work. A basketball in the hands, in my hands, is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. Whose hands? A baseball in my hands is worth about $6. A baseball in Mark McGuire's hands is worth $19 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hands. I don't even know how to play tennis. A tennis racket in Pete Sampras' hands is a Wimbledon championship and all the cash that comes along. It depends on whose hands the situation is in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. It depends on whose hands. A slingshot in my hand is a kid's toy. I wouldn't know what to do with a slingshot. I'd probably break a window or something. A slingshot in David's hands is a mighty weapon. It all depends on whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is probably a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands. It depends on whose hands it is. It's the idea is to give you perspective of to whom you put, turn things over and put it in their hands. And we're putting everything in God's hands. He can better handle it than we can. Nails in my hand might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends on whose hands. As you see now, it depends on whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your family, and your relationship in God's hands. It depends on whose hands you place whatever situation you're dealing with. Turn it over to the Lord. Because it depends on whose hands. Here's a message from Jesus Christ. Let it go. The thing that's troubling you, the thing that's causing you consternation, the things that's causing you to not enjoy the life that God has given you, let it go. It's not that important. If it's costing your health, your sanity, your life itself, let it go. Yes, that was not meant for you. Let it go. Jesus says, I have something better for you. If you will just let it go, whatever it is that's causing you to not enjoy all of the life that God has provided for you, let it go. If it's a person, let it go. If it's a possession, let it go. If it's an ambition, let it go. Turn it over to the Lord and be content. You must realize the pain of the past to move ahead with me. Let it go. Those things that have hurt you in the past, if you take it to the future with you, take it, if it's part of you now, and you take it to the future with you, you will live a life of misery, of things that happened to you many years ago. You have to let it go. Turn it over to the Lord and let it go. Is it worth your salvation? And that's a question that each one of us has to ask ourselves. Whatever this situation is it worth my salvation? Is getting even worth my salvation? If doing anything the contrary to the will of God, is it worth it if it puts my salvation in jeopardy? Is it worth it? I'm all that you need, the Lord says. Haven't I always been on time? I was on time, but you wouldn't let it go. That's why it wasn't resolved. Haven't I always made a way, saith the Lord? Why do you doubt me now? Why do you doubt me now? I am more than any circumstance you will ever face, saith the Lord. Let it go. Give it to me, says the Lord. Take my hand. Don't look back. Let it go. Those things that are causing, that are robbing you now of your joy, of the capacity to love your neighbors and love your family and love God. Let it go. But Larry, you don't know what she did to me. You don't know what he did to do. No, I don't know what they did to you, but I know what you're doing to yourself. The idea is to let it go and turn it over. Say, Lord, I'm not going to allow this to rob me of the gift of life you've given me. I'm going to turn this over to you and move on with my life. Take my hand. Don't look back. Let it go. Place it in God's hands and move on. The storm may rise. There are testing times ahead always. The Lord says, listen to my voice in the wind. I'm listening for you. You have but to ask. Know that I hear you. Your faith moves mountains. Your faith moves mountains. Tell Satan he's a liar. And don't be bashful about it. Tell Satan he's a liar. And get thee behind me. God says you're more than a conqueror. God says you are mine. Yes, I see you, God says. Yes, I'm here for you, God says. Open ourselves up so that we're receptive to the offers that God offers all of us. I know what your desire is, Lord says. He says, let me guide you. Take your time. Be led by the Spirit. Spirit will lead and teach you. You must have faith in my name, the Lord says. So much inside of you, all you ask, it shall be given to you. Those things that you need, you shall have. Know that I am still in control, saith the Lord. Hold on. Help is on the way. I'm right there. I'm at your beck and call. Know that from this day to the very first day you prayed, God heard your requests. It's in his hands. And if it's in God's hands, all is well. But I'm in a hurry. God works in his own ways. We bring it to him and then turn it over. And as we close here, I pray that this lesson has been uplifting to your soul to let you know to take that load off your shoulders. Turn it over to the broad-shouldered one, the Lord himself. Turn it over to him and be content with the results. If you turned it over to the Lord and it didn't work out the way you thought it should have worked out, then leave it alone. I pray that this has been uplifting to your soul. I pray that the Lord will bless each of you and each and every one of you. May the Lord minister to your spirits as you meditate on them. May the peace of God dwell within your hearts, sending all fear and anxiety flight. Remember, perfect peace will cast out fear. Perfect peace. Be at peace with yourself. Be at peace with the Lord. Because when you're at peace with the Lord, you will be at peace with yourself. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Remember, you have not because you ask not. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And in conclusion, be blessed. And rest where peaceful waters flow. Rest where peaceful waters flow. Immerse yourself in the notion that God is in charge. God is in control. And immerse yourself in that and take it off of your shoulders. Because what it does, it robs you of the time that God has gifted you to be here. It's like getting a toy or a gift. And then you throw it outside and it breaks. And then you wonder, well, what happened to my toy? Well, your life, God is giving you that life to value, to be able to contribute, to do those things that are necessary to make the world a better place as a Christian. Now, that concludes my presentation for the day. But I am up. You see, I'm up walking around. So stop feeling sorry for me. Contact me, let me know. We need to talk, then we'll talk. If we need to come and visit here at the church, we'll do that. But don't stop worrying about me. And you know who you are. Just about all of you. So, please, thank you for your kind attention. And hopefully some part of the message today, you will take it and make it a part of your life. Okay.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and sinners shall be parted right in that. Are you ready for that day to come?
Would you bow, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we spent in worship. We pray that it's been pleasing in your sight. We pray that you would comfort those and bless those who are ill and help restore them to their much-wanted state of health and be with the doctors and those administering unto them. We pray that you would help us to repent as we have need of, that you would forgive us of those sins that we repent of, and help us to turn away from those things and not hang on to any sins like that. We pray that you would help us to consider Matthew 25 and the things that a Christian should be about doing, and to do some of those things so that we won't be ashamed and disappointed in the day of judgment and be cast out. Pray that you would help us to talk to our relatives, people that have fallen away from the church, talk to them, try to get them to come back, at least plant the seed and make the opportunity. We pray that you would bless this food that they're about to have here to the nourishment of our bodies. And thank you for all the many blessings. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his death on the cross for our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's not always successful.